Meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the RPM sub-team for UOS providers on Wednesday, 29th of August, 2018. On the call today, we have Susan Payne, Phil Corwin, and Michael Karanakos. We received no apology for today's call. From staff, we have Ariel Yang, Julie Headland, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for recording purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Ariel.
This is Ariel Yang from staff, and actually, I think maybe we'll just turn over the floor to Phil, because Phil, that's your document being shown on Adobe Connect Room, and we suspect that you would like to walk through this revised wording for the proposals.
Sure. Thanks, Ariel. I don't want to lead the whole call, which is why I prepared the document. But basically the reason we're having this call and the reason why we didn't have a full working group call today was that when the co-chairs over the weekend reviewed the super consolidated document, it was evident that a lot of the recommendations, quote-unquote, in it were not really ready for review by the group. They were kind of like, you know, working groups should consider or, you know, this or that. They weren't put in active specific language. So what I've done here is I went through the entire super consolidated document yesterday, looked at everything listed as an operational recommendation or a policy recommendation from the provider's sub-team, and based on my personal recollection and just try to turn them into specific active recommendations that could be put before the working group next week. And our plan is to start with operational recommendations from all the sub-teams, and then when we finish that, to move on to the policy recommendations, which will probably require a little more time for discussion. So, you know, as Susan and Michael, as you consider this, and I guess we're going to have to do the job this morning unless other sub-team members show up, we're going to have to, there's two issues. Have I correctly stated what should be the recommendation? And in some cases, do we want to make that recommendation or should we just drop the issue? So there's no pride of authorship here. I'm not trying to force this language on anyone. It's free to be edited. But I just thought we needed something as a starting point for discussion, and that would be a lot more efficient to do this than to just be staring at the super consolidated and saying, how do we want to reword that? So I'll stop there and can staff, and I sent everyone this document and the super consolidated last night, or at least staff did on my behalf, everyone on the sub-team. Maybe staff can put in the chat for those who don't have that super consolidated handy and want to refer to it on any of these, can put a link to it in the chat, the current version of the super consolidated. But I'll stop there, and I think maybe if staff can just read each of these, and then we can quickly discuss, you know, is that the right wording? Do we want to change it? And is this a recommendation that the sub-team decided should go out to the full working group at the end of its discussions? So, Susan, Michael, any questions about anything I just said? Do you think that's a good way to go forward? Because we need to get through all of these in 90 minutes. All right, Michael says sounds good in the chat, and Susan's typing.
Sorry, it's Susan. I thought maybe I would just speak. I was going to say sounds good as well. The only reservation I have is obviously there's only three of us here. And it is a bigger subgroup than that, and this document only came out last night. So I'm assuming that there'll be a time for other people to wade in on our email list. I'm
yeah,
sure that would be the case.
Thanks, Susan. Yeah, this has to be done today, so I would suggest that we do the best we can, make any revisions we think are required, including if in one case or another we think it shouldn't go to the full working group, note that. And after this call, staff can send around a red line of the document before us to the full members of the working group, and let's say we give them till, close of business Friday to review it and get back if they think we screwed anything up or they want to weigh in and suggest a further change. We can do that. And given that we're so early today, that'll give almost 3 calendar days for other sub-team members to review whatever we put out today. So, yeah, we shouldn't be the final word, but we're the ones on the call and need to do the work right now. And then any changes we do, we'll circulate that to the full sub-team, and they'll have till close of business Friday, which is almost another three working days. If we get it out later this morning, I'm sure staff can do that for everyone to review it. So let me stop there, and let me suggest that we proceed by having staff just read each of these. On each of them, I put the corresponding place on the super consolidated where that this references. So, for example, the first one references a kind of incomplete statement on an operational suggestion that's found in the A section of the super consolidated on the complaint in section 4 at administrative review. And I think you'll readily recognize the topic from the wording I put here, and we can just quickly go through each of these and see if, I'll start the first one. After that, I'll let Ariel read the rest. The first suggested language to go to the full working group is a URS provider should check the websites of other URS and UDRP providers to ensure that a disputed domain name is not already subject to an open/active URS UDRP proceeding. I'll note that in this language, I dropped the reference to check on court cases because I believe the sub-team decided that would be an impossible task to try to check every court docket in the world, and that the if there was a pending court case, the registrant would be in the best position to know about that. So is this the correct language, and did we, in fact, decide to recommend this, or did we decide that, registrants were in the best place to, best position to point this out and that because of the very short duration of URS cases, less than a month from start to finish, it wouldn't be a good use of the, provider's time to perform this check. So I think those are the issues, and I yield the floor for feedback. Oh, and I'll say one last thing. I think if we're unsure on any of these about whether or not it should go, probably we should let it go to the full working group to see if there's support, and all that putting it out does, if there's support from the working group, is it winds up in the initial report for public comment. So it's really just, at this stage, we're just deciding what should be recommended to the full working group to be included in the initial report so that there can be public comment on the subject. It's not putting anything in as a final working group recommendation. That's going to take full consensus or consensus at the end of the process. So I will welcome Justine, and Justine, I won't repeat everything I said, but we're basically, this document's an attempt to take what was in the super consolidated and turn it into a clear and concise active recommendation that can be considered by the full working group. So let me be quiet, and I see Susan's comment that the registrants in the best position, but it's not that difficult for providers to check. Yeah, it's not very difficult. You just go to the other websites, I believe. They should show all the listed cases. So is there further comment on the suggested language for A4? All right, well, we've got a lot to get through, so let's check this one off as written. There doesn't seem to be any objection or suggestions for changes. And I'm going to turn it over to Ariel now to read the rest of them, and then I'll chime in with others in discussing them. So, Ariel, go ahead and read the suggested language for A6, which refers to GDPR-related changes.
Thanks, Joe. This is Ariel speaking. So A6, the corresponding providers proposal on the superconsult doc is on page 5 and 6. So it's the revised wording is providers should modify their operational rules in terms of automatically populating the complaint form using WHOIS data. And then the second one is that GDD and RISG should develop a uniform system for interaction between the providers and the registries regarding registrant data that is unavailable in publicly accessible WHOIS.
Okay, folks, so... Are you satisfied with that language, or does anyone want to chime in and suggest editing of it? I'm seeing looks okay, you know, seems okay in the chat, so if I got it right, let's move on to the next one.
Phil, this is Ariel speaking. I'm just checking the super consolidated doc, and I saw there are two other recommendations in pink that was new from last week's call. It's not in this document, so I just want to check whether you've seen it or whether you decide to not include it. I just want to double check on that point. And I see also Susan has her hand raised.
Yeah. All right. Well, go ahead, Susan.
Yes, hi, sorry, excuse me. It's just in relation to the second one. I'm not quite sure what we're suggesting. And I realize this has come from the super consolidated document, but what do we mean by develop a uniform system for interaction? Is that talking about developing a process for timely response to requests from the URS providers? Is that what we're talking about?
Can you state that again, Susan? I was trying to look at the document, to look at the pink stuff that Ariel mentioned.
I guess
too many copies of the document floating around.
Yeah, so it's kind of a question, but it's also maybe a suggestion. Is what we're really saying that there should be some work done on developing some guidelines or best practice or even rules regarding the timely response to requests for information from the providers. Is that what we're talking about? Because I just don't really understand what we mean by a uniform system for interaction.
Well, Susan, you know, do you have some suggested different language? I mean, I'm not wed to any of this.
So GDD and OASD should develop. guidelines or best practice maybe for the timely response to requests for information from providers? Or possibly even rules. I mean, I personally think it should be rules, actually. So there should be an obligation to respond within a certain period of time.
All right. Well, why don't you just suggest a change in the language?
Okay, I'm trying to.
Okay. And while you're doing that, Ariel, the additional pink things you were referring to are suggested policy changes, so they're not addressed. We're on the operational changes right now. Those will be referenced later on in the policy section of this document.
Oh, got it.
Okay?
Thanks, Phil. I just double-checking and make sure we're not missing anything. Thank you.
No. Yeah, I was working off this, so thank you.
And Phil, this is Sarah. Susan still has her hand raised.
I think we're waiting. A suggestion.
Okay.
Or Susan, if it's going to take more than a minute or two, Oh, here we go. GDD and RWA should develop rules for time response for registries. Yeah, Susan, it's not policy. We're on the operational proposals right now. The policy proposals come later in this document.
I get that. What I mean is the suggestion that there should be rules for the timely response, is that in fact a question of policy rather than a question of operation? That's my question. I know we're in the operation section.
I don't know. You know, some of these, I could argue they should be under operation rather than policy. I don't think it really is. I don't think we should spend a lot of time on this call debating whether something is operation or policy and focus instead on what's the correct language. Because, frankly, some of these, I wondered, is this in the right place? Is this a policy? Maybe it should be operational or vice versa. But that's how it was listed in the document. I wasn't going to start changing the classifications in the super consolidated document. These just track the way they were characterized in that document. Well, I'm fine with Susan's suggested language. Anyone else? Okay, Susan, so you're saying it should read GDD, RYSG, and providers should jointly develop rules. Okay, so can staff capture that? And we're going to depend on staff to capture our decisions and put them in a revised, make up a redline version of this document after the call for circulation to sub-team members. All right, so unless there's further discussion, why don't we move on to B1 under notice receipt by registrant.
This is Ariel. So B1, that's on the super consolidated doc, that's on page 10. And then the revised wording is ADNBRC should change its operational rules to comply with URS per 4.2, requiring that notice of the complaint be transmitted by the registrant via email, fax, and postal mail.
Yeah, Yeah, and I'll just say on that, I think there was pretty much unanimous agreement in the sub-team that where ADN wasn't following the rules, they should start following them. So, discussion?
And this is Sarah. Justine just put a note with translation, so I guess we should add that to the operational fix proposal.
Yeah, good catch. Agreed. Yeah, translation is addressed later in the document, but I don't see any harm in putting it in here.
This is Ariel. It seems the folks are all in agreement in the chat, and there's no more hands.
Okay, let's move on to two then.
So next one is a B2 effect on registry operator. On the super consolidated doc, it's page 11. The revised wording is ICANN's email addresses for registry contacts reached by providers should be kept up to date. And then the second proposal is GDD and RISG should develop a uniform system for interaction between the providers and registries regarding the registry notice requirements.
Yeah, let me, on the second one, I think following what we just did on the first, the second point should read GDD, RISG, and providers should jointly develop, et cetera. These are pretty simple operational fixes. Any comments, or are we good on the language? What does reach by providers? Yes, Dean, I don't see the language you're referencing.
This is Ariel. If I may, Justine is referencing the first proposal in the bracket, so ICANN's email addresses for registry contacts, bracket reached by providers should be kept.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm the one who wrote this, but I'm not sure what it means. Maybe we should take by I would strike that parenthetical and maybe at the end say should be kept up to date for use by providers.
And this is Ariel. There's no more hands, and Justine is typing,
okay.
And also put myself in the chat.
All right, we're following the silence is consent rule on this call, so if there's no discussion, we're just going to take it with the slight modifications that are discussed that staff is capturing. So we're moving on to F3.
Sorry, Phil. I do have a question about one of the original proposals. So if you look at page 11 in the super consolidated doc, there's one proposes working group to discuss whether issues with registry operators and locking up domains raise enforcement or compliance issues. And I think the revised wording didn't reflect this particular proposal. I think that proposal is trying to cover, for example, issues like a registry operator didn't lock the domain within 24 hours or didn't respond to the provider's requests. And things like that. So I'm just wondering whether we should try to include some wording to cover that point.
Yeah, what you said page 11 of the document?
Yes, it's on a super consolidated dock. So it's the first bullet point, column 3, a working group to discuss whether issues with registry operators and locking up domains raise enforcement or compliance issues. So I'm just wondering whether the revised wording has covered that point.
All right.
And Susan has her hand.
I'm seeing that.
Susan, if you're speaking, we're not hearing.
You know, on that one. Yeah. Go ahead, Susan. Yeah, that was one where I exercised judgment that it wasn't something we had decided to turn into an active recommendation. But now's the time to suggest wording if others think I made a mistake there.
Okay. Hi, Phil. It's Susan. So I haven't got suggested wording on the hoof, I'm afraid. But perhaps this is a sort of overarching issue, which is that there appear to be a few situations where we think there were issues, perhaps with providers not following the rules that they were required to, and then there appear to be a few issues that providers have raised about concerns about some situations where registries aren't doing what they're supposed to do, this being one of them. So do we maybe need just some kind of overarching recommendation about the need for more active engagement by ICANN compliance, and perhaps an avenue for the URS providers to deal with compliance where they have issues like registries, you know, not complying with the rules?
Yeah, I'm, you know, speaking for myself, I'm fine with that. If you want to, not on this call, but if right after you want to dash off a sentence or two for our consideration. I do believe that later in this document, the issue of things like locking and problems with that are addressed elsewhere. But let's get through the document and see. And if we need that kind of overarching suggestion, you can circulate it today and we can add it to what goes to the full working group, if the sub-team agrees. And to some extent, that's addressed in the next one on remedies, review of implementation. I guess the language I've put there about efforts undertaken doesn't say by whom, so I think that's open for discussion. I would think it's probably, you know, ICANN working with the registry and registrar stakeholder groups. So it should probably read, I'm on F3 now, review of implementation. I think we finished on the other two. There should be efforts undertaken by ICANN GDD in conjunction with the registry and registrar stakeholder groups to better inform, et cetera. And Susan's agreeing with that suggested edit in the chat. And I know Justine agreed with Susan's suggestion for some overarching statement on ICANN compliance, proactive monitoring. Okay, so again, silence is consent, so with that suggested edit, I think F3 is closed out. And I'd note we're one-third into the call, and we've covered just under a third of the document, so we need to keep up a quick pace if we want to finish in 90 minutes. Ariel, why don't you read the suggested language for J1 on page 2 of this document?
Sure. This is Ariel speaking. So the revised language is, I can should enforce the U.S. Rules 9 and U.S. Procedure 4.2 with respect to providers communicating with the registrants in the predominant language of the registrant. In particular, as the working group has found that ADNDRC is not in compliance with URS Procedure 4.2 and URS Rules 9, ICANN should request ADNDRC to change their operational rules and to translate the notice of complaint into the predominant language using the registrant's country or territory. And if you look at the super consolidated doc, the original wording is on page 33 and 34. For this particular proposal.
Any discussion, or are people happy with this language? All right, well, I guess I've made you happy with this. I'm happy for that, so let's move on.
This is Ariel. So the next one is the M, U.S. providers, 1, evaluation of the U.S. providers and their respective processes. The revised wording is provider compliance with U.S. Rule 6A should be enforced. ADNDRC in particular should be required to list the backgrounds of all their examiners so that the complainants and respondents can check for conflicts of interest. And if you look at the super consolidated doc, that should be on page 40 for this proposal.
Okay, and it's a pretty simple issue. They're required to list the CVs of all their examiners, and in some cases that's not happening. All right, I'm seeing okays in the, I'm not hearing any dissent, so if that's acceptable, we're done with the operational recommendation language. We're on to policy.
So this is Ariel. I also put myself in the queue. I do have one question.
Sure.
So I'm looking at page 40. There is this pink text that's new from last week's meeting. That's another proposal is as a compliance issue, working group to consider asking ICANN to check providers for compliance with technical requirements. So that's mainly because ADNDRC reported they are not in compliance with the technical requirements because their website has problems, and then they updated the website now, so they're in compliance, but this issue happened before. So I think that's another proposal for operational fix.
All right. You're referring to language in the second column, right?
No, it's actually in the third. It's in the third column on page 40. That's the second bullet point in pink text.
All right, well, that's weird because I'm seeing that on page 39 of my document.
Perhaps it's a PDF versus a Word. Sometimes the page, page number change.
All right, so...
Susan has her hand raised.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, thanks. So I think that text in pink is what you were addressing in relation to Rule 6A in this M1 recommendation. But that's very specific about perhaps we can make a more general, you know, as I was saying before, you know, perhaps falls within the more general recommendation that we think there should be more proactive monitoring and enforcement by the ICANN compliance team.
Yeah, I agree, Susan. I think that this new language in pink on page 39 or 40, depending on how one's document formatted, would be covered by the kind of overarching language you said you'd draft and circulate. So I'd rather wait to see your language than try to add something new on just this very general point here in the super consolidated. All right, so Susan will work something up and get it circulated to us shortly after this call, and we can now move on to the policy proposals part of this document, which may require a little bit more discussion, though we'll see.
This is Ariel. I can read out the revised wording. So we're on to A6, amending the compliant in light of GDPR temp specs. There are a couple of proposals. The first one is URS Rule 3B should be amended in light of GDPR and the permissible filing of a DOE complaint. And then the second proposal is URS Procedure Paragraph 3.3 should be amended to enable modification of the complaint within 2 to 3 days from disclosure of the full registration data by the URS provider. And then the third proposal is outreach and education efforts should be undertaken via expert intermediaries to increase awareness and understanding of the common law concepts of DOE complaints in civil law jurisdictions, especially in the EU. And if you look at the super consolidated doc, the original wording is on page 5 to 6.
Okay. Any discussion of this language, which addresses issues that have arisen because of the very hot topic of GDPR compliance and the temp spec and EPDP and all of that that's going on in the background? Gee, does everyone think I got it right here? Susan's happy. Good. Michael, Justine, you satisfied with this language? All right, well, great. Wasn't sure about that one, but I seem to have gotten it right enough. So let's go on to B.
This is Ariel. Sorry, again. I just noticed there's one proposal that seems to be left out here. It's if you look at the super consolidated doc on page 6, working group to communicate with the EPDP team about the issue that European civil systems do not recognize the common law concept of DOE complaint and the concept is not well understood in Europe. It doesn't seem like a policy recommendation, but it just seems like the working group needs to inform the EPDP team. So I'm just wondering whether we should include that language somewhere.
Well, I thought I had captured that language in what I had composed and where we talked about education efforts undertaken via expert intermediaries. But if that's not clear enough, I see Susan's hand up.
I think, hi, sorry, it's Susan. Yes, I think we talked about this last week, and I think we felt that it was something that perhaps needed to be drawn to the attention of the EPDP working group. But it seems to me that it's not really something that can go into the formal recommendation that go into a report that we produce from this this working PDP working group, because by that point the EPDP theoretically is going to be wrapped up. So it feels much more like just a sort of a kind of operational communication that perhaps it would, you know, we ought to pass on to the EPDP in case it's a benefit to them.
Thanks, Susan. I think that was pretty much the way I was thinking when I put this document together, that it really didn't quite fit in something that would go in an initial report for community comment. And Justine seems to agree. All right, so let's move on to B1 here, receipt by registrant. Go ahead, Ariel. This, I'm not sure I got this one right, so let's have it read and then discussed.
Sure. Thanks, Phil. This is Ariel. B1, revised wording, is for DOE complaints, providers should send notice to respondents as soon as relevant WHOIS data is forwarded by the registry. And that's on page 10 of the super consolidated doc.
Yeah, and this one, I don't know if I got it right, but the complainant, if the registrant contact data is shielded because the GDPR is not going to have that, when they're going to have to file a DOE complaint. So, we're assuming, I think, in this, that providers can quickly get that from the registry once they send them a notice of complaint. And Susan's hand is up. And go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, hi, it's Susan. I don't have an answer, I'm afraid. It's more of a question back to everyone else. But there's a requirement under the temp spec, certainly, that there should be a means of communication with the registrant, even though it's anonymized. So there should be an anonymous email address or a form that registrars provide. Now, presumably, the provider can serve the complaint, even in the form of the DOE complaint, by that, presumably. I'm not suggesting that there shouldn't also be a subsequent notice sent to the respondent once they've been unmasked, but is there any reason why the complaint can't have been forwarded to the registrant already?
You know, that's a good point, and frankly, Susan, I had neglected to remember that there was that online contact form under the temp spec, so I would be open to amending this language to maybe where, I don't want to wordsmith on the fly, but it probably should read something like providers should first use the, contact form and then, follow up to the email and other addresses as soon as they become available, something like that.
Oh, sorry, I've still got my hand up, which was unintentional. I think I agree. My only reservation is I wonder, just concerned in case because we're doing this on the fly, we're kind of missing something. Is there any concern with it having been served initially in the form of a DOE complaint? I'm not sure that I can see a concern, but because by that point the domain should have been locked and so on anyway, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I would say for this morning's exercise, let's get it as best we can. All of this is going to be forwarded to the full working group for further discussion. So it's not the last word on any of this. These recommendations can be, we have a process for modifying them subject to working group discussion. So I think we're talking about language that says, for DOE complaints, providers should first utilize the online registrant contact form, and then send notice to respondents by the required methods as soon as relevant WHOIS data is forwarded by the registry. So I guess I am wordsmithing on the fly. Does that sound okay to others, what I just said? All right. So, Ariel, did you get that? Did you get the edit for circulation after the call?
This is Ariel. Yes, staff are capturing on the site, so we will make sure to capture.
Super, Annie. Please, yes. So, good. Great. We're now down almost to the middle of page 3, which is the defenses points 1 and 2.
This is Ariel. I can read it.
Okay.
So the first proposal, that's on defenses 1, 2. All providers should provide similar types and forms of guidance to their examiners. And then second proposal is examiners should document chenille in all issued determinations, in particular when an examiner finds that a registrant has registered and used a domain in bad faith, supporting facts should be cited. And look at the super consolidated doc that's on page 19 for the original proposal.
Okay, these are important issues. Anyone, any discussion? All right, well, remember, consent is, silence is consent, so if there's no discussion or comments, it's going to be accepted as drafted. Well?
And this is Ariel. And Justine is typing, and we'll wait till her finish, and then we can move on.
Yeah, well, I guess... Justine says no issues, so I guess I got that right enough. Let's move on to F here, remedies.
So the revised wording is URS technical requirements 3 and registry requirement 10 should be amended to address problems with the implementation of the relief awarded following a URS decision. The implementation of a settlement, generally a domain transfer at the registrar level, and implementation of complainant requests to extend the suspension. And if you look at the super consolidated doc, that's on page 27.
Okay, and all I would comment on, a little bit ago we talked about difficulties sometimes with getting the suspension implemented and other technical problems. This is the portion of the document that addresses that issue. And while it doesn't suggest exactly how they should be amended, of course, policy recommendations are only so detailed, and then the details are filled in if they're adopted by consensus by a subsequent implementation team. Justine says, do we need to mention ICANN compliance? Yeah, I'm not sure, Justine, whether we should mention them or whether that's an implementation detail, you know, if this recommendation is adopted by the working group, that would be in the implementation stage of, or we could say, you know, they should be amended and then insert and compliance efforts should be directed to address problems with the implementation. So we could throw in a couple of words about implementation in this sentence if the other members think that's useful. So that would read URS technical requirements 3 and registry requirement 10 should be amended, comma, and compliance efforts should be directed, comma, to address problems, etc. I think that might be a beneficial addition. I'm seeing okay, so assuming staff captured that insert, we're good to move on to K1.
This is Ariel. Sorry for disrupting the flow, but I just noticed on page 32 of the super consolidated doc, under cost 1, and there's a draft recommendation there. It's a working group to discuss whether any of the late response fees created a burden for the respondent. And staff didn't see that in this document yet. So we're just wondering whether that was left out intentionally or whether it was just missed.
Okay, and that was on 32, you said?
Yes, page 32. Under I cost in column 3.
You know, if people want to propose something, go ahead. I left that out because it just said working group to discuss, and I didn't remember the subteam ever reaching a conclusion that the current late response fees set by the providers were unduly burdensome. So if someone thinks I got that wrong, now's the time to propose some language. But yeah, that's one where I just left it out because I didn't recall the subteam deciding that we needed a policy recommendation on that. All right. Well, Susan and Justine don't think we need something. Michael, if you do, let us know now. Otherwise, we're going to move on. Okay, good. All right, my discretionary decision is backed by the other team members on this call. So we're down to K1, misuse of process. This is one where, frankly, I wasn't sure if we had decided to recommend this, but I thought I ought to put it in this document for discussion purposes. If I got it right, great. If it shouldn't be here, we can take it out. But let's have Ariel read K1 here, and then we can discuss.
This is Ariel. The revised wording is penalties for the abuse of the process by the respondent should be added to the URS rules. This proposal should be published to solicit public comment on what type of procedural abuse should be sanctioned and in what manner. And if you look at the original super consolidated doc, that's on page 37.
Okay, discussion of this one, or is it accepted? Justine says K1's okay. Michael's typing. He needs a moment. He wants to review it. That's fine. We're doing okay on time. We're 58 minutes in the call, and we're actually about 4/5 through the document, so we're doing fine. Susan, your hand's up.
Yes, thanks, Susan. Okay, I can't really believe I'm saying this, but I personally believe that there should be penalties for the abuse of the process by the respondent, but I don't think that anything that we in the providers sub-team did has given rise to anything either supporting or opposing that notion. So I'm just not sure that this is the recommendation we can be making. I think we could make something less than that, like, you know, the working group as a whole should consider whether there should be penalties or should seek public comment on whether there should be penalties and on what. But I'm just not sure that we, in terms of the work we did with the providers, have anything that we've elicited that justifies us making this recommendation. And I can't imagine it will get through, to be honest.
Okay. Thanks, Susan. Michael, go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm a little, the reason why I asked Ramona is I'm a little confused looking at the preliminary finding, because Forum talks about alleged abuse of processes by the complainant. So the respondent is alleging that the complainant is abusing the process. And this suggests seems to be turning that around and talking about abuse of process by the respondent. And I'm a little confused as to the genesis of that. And as to just what we're talking about in terms of the respondent abuse of the process.
Okay, let me suggest this, given the comments we just heard. How about we, drop the whole first phrase of this proposal up to the semicolon and replace it with something that says public comment should be solicited on whether current penalties for the abuse of process by complainants and respondent are sufficient, and if not, what what types of additional procedural abuse should be sanctioned and in what manner. That would simply be a recommendation that we ask that question in the initial report for comment without a recommendation for doing anything at this point. It's just a proposal to solicit public comment on that point. And again, yes, Justine noticed that revision would mention both complainants and respondents. It would be an open-ended solicitation to the ICANN community, basically to say, are the current penalties for abuse of process sufficient, or should they be expanded, and how?
Bill, can I leap in?
Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, thank you. Largely, I think that seems good to me, and I'd be kind of quite supportive of that. The only thing I would suggest, don't make this a recommendation from this subgroup as such. Maybe we make it something like a bit less than a recommendation, so like a suggestion or a proposal or something, because I really just don't think we've got anything. You know, as I said, I don't think that there's anything that we've discovered in the course of our investigations in this sub-team that rises to the level of a recommendation, and to be expressed as a recommendation suggests that we've found something that needs addressing. So maybe more of a suggestion or for consideration or something like that.
Okay, you know, and I see Ariel's note in the chat. How about we take this one, the revised language of this one, and we've got a procedural section, we've got an operational section, we've got a policy section. Let's create a new section 3 here, suggested action items for working group, and put it in there. So it's to make it clear that it's not really a policy recommendation. It's something we're recommending the working group consider putting in the initial report for the purpose of soliciting further public comment. I think there's agreement in the chat room on that. So So on this one, we're going to revise the language as discussed, which includes dropping the whole first clause, and we're going to move it into a new third section of this document, which is going to be suggested action items for working group consideration. And with that, Ariel, is your hand up on this, or is that an old hand?
This is Ariel. It's actually about a different point. So when I was looking at a super consolidated doc on page 34 under language issues, there's a proposal is working group to consider whether in light of forum MFSB's feedback on the use of WHOIS to help determine respondents' language, policy recommendations should be developed to handle language and related GDPR concerns. We just want to be thorough and make sure that this point is covered in previous proposals, and if not, perhaps some language needs to be developed to refine this proposal.
Okay. I'm not sure why I didn't cover that one in the document I prepared, but maybe I thought it was covered by our other, I guess the other language stuff was about the sending the notice and the procedure. What appeared to, excuse me, do people think we need an initial point to address this? Susan, your hand's up.
Okay. Yeah. As far as the WHOIS is concerned, assuming that registries are following the temp spec, and obviously that could change in the future, the country of registration is still something that is disclosed in the publicly available WHOIS. So to the extent that the providers are determining the language based on what they can see in the WHOIS, can't they still do that because the country is still there? I mean, it's a broad brush approach anyway, but I mean that applies regardless of whether all of the WHOIS info is there or whether they've only got the country.
Okay, so Susan, you're saying it shouldn't be a concern that needs to be addressed.
I guess I'm not seeing. Why it's a concern, because it seems to me that the information about the country ought to still be available.
Okay, does anyone think it is a concern that needs to be addressed? If not, we'll move on. All right, let's move on then to from the top bottom of page 3 to the top of page 4, education and training responsibility for it. And 2 suggested
this is
on that.
This is Ariel speaking. I can read the proposed revised wording. The first one is I can develop easy to understand multilingual and link guidance, e.g. basic FAQs, for reference and informational purposes of both URS parties, complainants, and respondents. Second proposal is URS providers should develop additional clear and concise reference and informational materials specific to their service practice and website for the use and benefit of both URS parties. And in the consolidated doc, and that's on page 38.
Okay, and I'll just note the first one of these, it should say ICANN should develop. There's a missing word there. So I thought these were pretty straightforward, drawn from the super consolidated. I think Susan said L1 looks good. Thank you, Susan. Justine's typing. Give this another 30 seconds, see if there's feedback, and if not, we'll move on. Okay, so unless Michael has concerns on L1, it's pretty straightforward suggestions for better guidance and other information. That brings us to the final suggested language change, which is M1, URS providers evaluation of them and their processes.
And this is Ariel. The wording is explicit standards for removal of examiners based upon particular background and factors such as continued representation of serial subletters or representation of parties found to have engaged in attempted reverse domain name hijacking should be developed. And unconsolidated doc, that's on page 39.
Yeah, and let me point out here that I think in the super consolidated, it mentioned continued representation of serial cyber squatters. That's where an examiner was consistently representing parties who were infringing trademark. I added the reference to examiners who have represented clients who attempted domain name hijacking. Of course, that would have occurred in UDRP, just to kind of balance out the thought, and because that's something that's been discussed in a lot of forums. But it was just, it doesn't mean that the final standards have to say that. It just, it was giving examples. The basic thought here is that we need more explicit standards for examiner removal. And Susan has her hand up, and let's hear from Susan.
Thanks, Phil. Okay, this is one I'm not sure that I agree with, and I'm not sure that we identified an issue. I know it says working group to discuss, but it seemed like all of the providers gave us, responded to the question and identified that they considered, issues of examiner qualification and took into account a range of factors. And so unless we're going to start saying that we think there needs to be, really standardized qualification criteria or something like that, or disqualification criteria, I don't think we identified that there was a problem.
Yeah, that's fine, Susan. This was one of the ones I put it in just for the sake of having a discussion of whether we had actually reached a conclusion. Let's hear from Michael on this.
Yeah, I think that this should still be included, but I would remove the EG at the end. Particularly since we're just pushing this to the working group as a consideration, I think it's fair to keep it in there, because I do think there's been a lot of discussion about concerns in this area, and so I think it's fair to flag this for consideration going forward.
All right. Well, based on that feedback, what if we rewrote it to simply say explicit standards for the removal of examiners should be developed? A very short declarative sentence, just to get the issue before the full working group. Susan, your hand's still up.
It's a new one. If so, then can this go into the Section 3, the suggested action items for the working group, and something where we're not making a recommendation coming out of this subgroup that there must be standards? Because I don't think that we are. I can see that this is something that probably the working group as a whole wants to talk about. But I'd like to downgrade it from being a recommendation from this sub-team. So putting it into Section 3.
I would find that acceptable. Would that be acceptable to you, Michael? We'll get the issue before the full working group for a decision on to whether something should be published for public comment in the initial report. And Michael, your hand.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I mean, it sorry. That's fine with me.
And Justine's suggesting not just standards for removal, but reprimand before removal. All right, let me suggest a revision on the fly. Explicit standards for the sanction or removal of. So sanction would cover reprimands. So explicit standards for the sanction and removal of examiners should be developed, and we'll move that into action items for working group consideration. And I think that seems to be acceptable. And with that, unless someone else has something they think I missed or wants to bring up, we're done. And I'm very, you know, putting this doc together took me somewhat over 2 hours yesterday. Well, Susan, I see your note, Susan. It could say should be considered.
Yes.
Rather than developed, that would soften it a bit. It would still get the issue before the full working group for discussion on whether we should solicit public comment. So explicit standards for the sanction and removal of examiners should be considered. Okay, and move to a new section. And I was saying the exercise I engaged in yesterday seems to have allowed us to get through all this sub-team's operational and policy recommendations in less than 90 minutes, and I think that confirms for me that the overall procedures that the working group co-chairs have established for submission of individual proposals is going to do the same. What we wanted to avoid was having, confused conversations about exactly what was being proposed because it wasn't explicit enough, and trying to wordsmithing on the fly during full working group calls. So I think the exercise we just went through here it helps with proof of concept. So I have nothing more to say. Unless somebody wants to bring something else up, we can end this call 14 minutes early, and staff will circulate a revised redlined document showing all the changes we made as soon as possible after this call to the full sub-team membership, with an email stating that anyone who wants to propose further edits or objections should do so by close of business Friday. Otherwise, the red line edits will be adopted as the final recommendations on operational and policy recommendations from this sub-team to be considered by the full working group. And Ariel has one thing to ask. Go ahead.
Thanks very much, Phil. Sorry for not ending this immediately, but just wanted to follow up on the action item that staff reported on last week, is that we reviewed the notice of complaint and also the various forms from the providers and to check whether there's any issues with them. We just wanted to check whether whether any of you have seen that email and whether the staff report changed any of the recommendations. So just to summarize what we see, that is for the notice of complaint, AD&DRC didn't provide that document, but then Forum and MFSD provided, and they actually include pretty thorough instructions to the respondent about the steps and what to expect in the U.S. proceedings. And then for all these various complaint, response, and appeal forms, providers, they vary in terms of the amount of guidance they provide to the U.S. parties. So for a Forum, they have a very thorough demo with the step-by-step instructions. MFSD, they reference specific rules and procedures. But then AD&DRC has just a simple form without much guidance. So we're just wondering whether this changed any of the proposal where it doesn't really. And I will forward that email again.
Okay. I see Justine asking for it. Could you forward that to the sub-team again? And Ariel, if I could, it sounds to me like we need some ADN-specific recommendation, operational recommendation on that to change their form to make it more consistent with the one provided by Forum and MFSD to provide the respondent with additional information. So maybe you could draft up a simple sentence on that under direction of the sub-team and circulate it along with that document, and then we can discuss it on the email list. And it sounds like something we'd probably agree with pretty readily. We agree to the other ADN-specific language points in this document, but we can get that done by email between now and Friday. And Ariel said sure in the chat, so thanks for bringing that up.
No problem, this is Ariel. I just want to quickly add a wording. This can be tagged along with the proposal under education and training. It's L1, and I can just add something specifically in DRC to the proposal we already reviewed. So I don't see a big problem there.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Just, you can insert it in the redline copy, but just note it in the cover email that you've inserted that additional language at the direction of the sub-team. And with that, I think we're done. And other than participating in the full working group discussion of these recommendations when they go forward over the next 2-3 weeks, I think this sub-team is close to completing its work, and we just have to share what we've learned with the full working group when they discuss these various recommendations. And it's been a long and tedious road, but I think in the end it's going to result in a lot of well-thought-out operational and policy recommendations being included in the initial report. And yeah, thank you, Justine. And with that, I have nothing more to say. We can end this call unless someone has something further to say. So I think we're done.
And this is Sarah.
Yeah.
Just one last thing to confirm next steps. So staff will produce a redline copy of the document bill that you produced incorporating changes discussing the call today, and once the provider sub-team approve all these changes, then we can incorporate that in the super consolidated book. And we just want to confirm.
I would differ from that. I don't think we need you circulate it as soon as possible to the sub-team membership and tell them that if anyone wants to suggest, disagrees with a change we've made or anything else in the document, they need to circulate that by close of business Friday. If we don't hear objections or further suggested edits from people, the red line document's going to be adopted as a close of business Friday. So I think I'm just saying we don't need every sub-team member to get back and say, I approve. What we're looking for is if they disagree with anything that's in the revised document. And, of course, circulate to the co-chairs as well so they can review it, the ones who weren't on this call. So, is that clear?
Yes, this is Ariel. And all co-chairs are in the sub-team mailing list. So
okay.
They should be able to see it, too.
Well, great. Well, thank you, everyone who got on the call. And we have now agreed, subject to review by the full sub-team membership, on the final wording of all the operational and policy recommendations we're forwarding for working group discussion. And thanks again. I think we've got some very good work and some good recommendations, and I think most of them will probably get support from the sub-team and be included in the initial report. So, good work. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day, wherever you are. Bye.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks very much, Phil. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. This concludes today's call. The recordings will be stopped. Have a lovely rest of your day. Goodbye.